still sitting in their regular places. I hear someone coming in. They're wondering where they are, so I left all my notes at home, so that's really good. We'll see what I remember of them. I'm not following the bulletin this morning. Sorry. Sorry, Dan. I'm sure it's lovely. People could take one home as a souvenir. I don't know. They might, you know, he might decide to do, this morning as I spoke with Medhat about what we were going to do today, the text for last week was the Transfiguration, which is Jesus on the mountaintop with the disciples and encountering Elijah and so we had quite a bit of it. We had an open Bible study discussion about that text and about going up on the mountain and coming down from the mountain. Well, he has yet to preach the sermon on the Transfiguration. He was going to preach it this week. So it may be here next week. Who knows? So we have a nicely crafted worship service with the worship band playing that is ready to go. So we may just, who knows? Who knows? Well, stay tuned, you know. It could be the Lenten of the Transfiguration. So the Lenten journey of the Transfiguration. Well, welcome. We're glad you're here. As I told Muriel, we don't cancel services. I mean, we're usually open on Sunday morning, and with the warning that there was no snow shoveling guaranteed, and no parking, and a parking ban, and all of those things working against us, and no co-pastor with us. but I'm glad you're here so that we may worship together and pray and be together. I think in a season like this where there's so much happening in people's lives and worship is kind of sporadic because of the weather, it's important to have space and time for people who can get here to come together and be able to lift their hearts in prayer and song and praise and share together concerns as a community of faith on behalf of half of others as well. So we're going to open as we did last week when we were less formal too, with some music, and which means we're taking requests. And fortunately, Andrew is here to lead it through my sporadic playing of the melody of whatever you choose to do. Oh, Andrew has it.
Okay.
welcome all. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have told us that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you are here in the midst of us. We give thanks for that reality that as we come together as your people from many different directions through this snow, that we may be your community at worship here this day. Guide our hearts and our minds as we prepare to worship you, as we bring the sins and needs of our lives to you, for seeking forgiveness, seeking healing, seeking the power of your grace. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Medhat was to preach this morning the sermon that he was to preach last week, which turned into a Bible study. And as I said earlier in this time together in worship, could well have turned into the text that we will look for through all of Lent to deal with the Transfiguration. So a much anticipated sermon somehow. So welcome to this snowy worship, informal worship service together here. I'm glad that you're here. We've got the Connecticut crew represented too. So I've heard there's less snow in Connecticut than in Providence. Just a word maybe by way of announcement of what we try to do with snow notifications. If you ever have a question of whether or not there's snow cancellation, call me before you venture forth. We do try to discourage people from driving in when there's a parking ban in the city, because we're technically not supposed to park on the streets, and they can get pretty aggressive about towing with that. We also, until the Providence Center lot is cleared, we usually try to avoid parking in there, although they're very generous on Sunday mornings for us to use that on snowy days, but we do impede their plowing if we're in their lot when they choose to come. I think we're probably safe today because it's supposed to snow into the afternoon, and they'll hopefully be sensible and plow later rather than plow twice. We do try to get the word out through our Providence Publicist mailing list. So if you're not on the Providence Publicist emailing list and did not receive a message this morning about this, or checked your email this morning, let me know so that I can make sure you're on the list. We also try to put it on Facebook, and then sometimes if we're not shoveling out the front, we try to get it on the answering machine as well. So, but you feel free to, on snow days, feel free to give a call to see what we're doing, because I'm a very early riser, and I probably get up earlier than most of you, so, especially on Sundays. This morning for a scripture passage, I was hoping that we would, decided that I would like to look at a text that was in the devotional that I'm using this Lenten season. It's a devotional called Journey to the Cross, and it is a daily devotional that you can get by email if you are on email, that I have found really quite nice in centering. It's not a long time that that requires that you spend hours in meditation on it, and you can move through it as quickly as you would like. There's a centering thought at the beginning, then there's a scripture, and then there's a little bit of a reflection on the scripture as well. And you can kind of whiz through that quickly, or you can linger over it. It's a nice resource that I've discovered for this season. And each day that I've been meditating on it, I've seen different things. Well, I was thinking yesterday when we were at Presbytery meeting, we were talking about humility, and the first of the devotionals, which was also part of the theme of the the Ash Wednesday worship service on Wednesday, as we were entering into Lent, was this idea of humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And the person who wrote the devotional, the first day of this devotional, reminded us that the root of humility is the same root for human, and for our humanity. And then they went on to talk about how that what humility is about being grounded and being connected to where we need to be in our walk with Jesus Christ as we walk forward through the Lenten season. And I really liked that. So I became deeply connected to this devotional at that moment to following it through. So if you want to, I can share the information about how to get to it if you're interested in pursuing it further. But this morning's devotional has us looking at the book of Deuteronomy, a passage from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 26, verses 4 through 9. And since this was a last-minute substitution, there's no PowerPoint to refer to this morning on this. So Deuteronomy 26, verses 4 through 9. And the text that invited us into it was about thinking about the idea of being vulnerable. When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. If we think about this text in response to the invitation that came at the beginning of the text to consider what it means to be vulnerable, the author of this devotional starts with a quote from Madeleine L'Engle that says, "When we were children, we used to think that when we were grown up, we would no longer be vulnerable. But to grow up is to accept vulnerability. To be alive is to be vulnerable." And she, the author of this, who was, I think they use a lot of different authors putting together this devotional, but the man who wrote this for this one, for this day, said that Jesus seems to agree with that, and that during Lent we follow Jesus and journey into the wildness of the wilderness and find the power of vulnerability, the power of being able to see how Jesus walks in this world and how Jesus ministers to us in the midst of those vulnerabilities. And so we're going to be talking throughout this season of Lent, I hope, unless we are always in the Transfiguration every week. But we're hoping to be talking about different people's encounters with God and Jesus through Scripture. So we're going to take a different story each week, ultimately, I hope. So, I've heard there's a snowstorm for next week too, next weekend. We're going to be walking with different characters to see how it is that Jesus speaks to them in the midst of those circumstances. How it is that Jesus, in the time that those people needed Jesus to speak to them, at a time usually when they're vulnerable and turning to Jesus, because if we would be honest with ourselves, we most often pray when we are in need of God and recognize that we need God rather than when everything is going wonderfully well, although we should be doing both. But in that vulnerability, they reach for God and hear God in new ways. And so we're going to journey through that in our time together. And this was certainly a journey of very difficult times when the Hebrew people were down in the land of Egypt and seeking God's presence in the midst of that. So we're going to continue to journey into that. And so I bring you this as not just an advertisement for this morning, but because I was not scheduled to preach this morning, but wanted to bring you something to hold on to as we gathered together in worship here this morning. So any thoughts or reactions to that sense of God meeting us in our vulnerability or Lengel's quote that to be alive is to be vulnerable. Microphone, yes.
Actually, I was just wondering why an Armenian? I mean, my idea of Armenia is rather constrained. Maybe it had Aramean. Okay, tell us about an Aramean. They'll give you your sermon.
Tell you about an Aramean. You know, I'd have to do some more research to tell you more about it. Yeah, aren't you the church historian for me? All right, anyone remember key points about the wandering Aramean? Okay.
Well, I don't know anything. Well, yeah, right. Yeah, the only reference that I know other than that is the reference in the time of Christ when he talks about Joseph from Aramea.
It's on. He's just not holding.
No, it sounds loud to me, you know.
Well, I think as I remember, try to dig back to 25 years ago when I was in seminary, the wandering Aramean, that sense that we are all sojourners and we're all journeying somewhere and seeking a home. And for me, that's one of the reasons we do that having worship on this Sunday morning, I never know who's going to show up on a Sunday morning like this. But people show up who want to be here, who want to be in the community, who are looking to meet God in this moment, and they may have an encounter with one another in the process of that. They may be bringing their own issues of vulnerability into the midst of it and never speak it, but there's something about the power of being in community together that we're on a journey. It's not, at least I feel like we never quite settle in. And certainly this is a church that has a lot of people coming and going all of the time, not just on snowy Sunday morning. Oh, he went to look it up. Oh, okay. Oh, the phone number. 401-861. I can give you my phone number, too. I'm not going to be able to. Person who. It's a good question. 861-1136. No, there are other references to the land of milk and honey. There's actually quite a few references to the land of milk and honey. It's a code for abundance, where things do not, where the good things, the things that we want to be eating and be feasting upon, are here in abundance. So it is kind of a code. Yeah, the wilderness and desert part we could get really well. So yes. Yeah. So it's more like in Iraq, right? Yeah. The Wandering Aramean.
But the
I'm
old.
Confused with the wandering Armenians.
When you think of the Old Testament, I mean, and the stories that are there, there are just so many stories of people wandering. You know, even going all the way back from the Exodus out of Eden, and from there on. I mean, think about all those journeys that were under duress. Even leaving, you know, Abraham leaving Iraq, and you know, the constant, you know, the Persians, all those swirling civilizations that would take the Israelites out and take them captive, and you know, their migration into Egypt and back. And all of those are.
Yeah. Lots of wandering in those days.
Yeah. So one of the things that brings to my mind is I think the notion of vulnerability is sort of how few times most of us have woken up not knowing we're going to sleep the night at the end of the day. I remember sort of thinking as a college student, you know, when I was occasionally traveling off in wild places, that this was kind of an unusual experience for me. Even though my family had traveled around a lot, we always sort of knew there was always a plan, always some place where we were going to stay. We knew we were going to stay the night, and yet for most of the people in most of history, and many, many people today, they wake up one morning and they don't know where the next meal is going to come from. They don't know where, you know, where they're going to sleep the next night. And you know, I think sort of understanding first that sort of the message of the Bible came out of a community where that was very much true. And second, help us to understand more about sort of the lives of people around the world, what they really experience and how privileged we actually are. This is what comes to mind in my view.
When I look at it, I see where it says, the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And I think it's also something that we all have those moments, if not consistent and ongoing, where I think it speaks to me and says, you know, when you're in those moments, remember that we all wander, we all are searching, and God is always present. and he will outstretch his hand, and even if it's minimally, that's how we perceive it. That can be enough. And milk and honey may not be literally milk and honey, or it may just be that there is a possibility of abundance, and if the abundance is more of the presence of God with us, and that we're not alone in our wandering.
Yeah, I think I think that's a really important reason that we read Scripture and that we return to the stories of Scripture, the stories of faith of the people who have walked with God before us, as to be reminded of that, and to particularly in moments of trouble and challenge, that's really important. Yes.
Well, it made me think of this week. I teach a course on two courses actually on the history of Christianity, and this week I had Father Michael Najem in. He's a spiritual director at the Catholic Seminary. He's very good. He used to be the vocations director for the diocese, and I had a Lutheran pastor. But I always get questions from the students in advance, both to fill gaps and to get questions that they might not want to ask themselves. And it's real potluck at Rhode Island College, because I don't get only believers in this class, although most of them are. But this student asked, you know, she just didn't, she seemed to be looking. She, you know, she didn't go to Mass, she said. She must at least have known about the Catholic Church. And she didn't have any, you know, she was sort of on a spiritual quest, but she didn't know what to do. What should she do? And I thought he had such a good response. He said, well, I suggest that you pray as if there were a God. You know, and I thought, what a good idea, you know, a way to approach people who are sort of wandering around with nothing. So this is sort of on the wandering theme, I guess.
So we can categorize where we're going. Great. Searching, yeah. Let us pray. God of the wanderer, keep us safe in the journey. And although we may feel vulnerable or lost at times, help us to find no home until we find our rest in you. Amen. I'd love to invite us into a time of prayer together in this time. One of the powerful parts of worship in this community is the way that we pray for each other. And we have had a couple of people who have asked for prayers for this morning on our behalf. Linda Delvecchia is Heidi Abendroth's friend, who has been here in worship with us, and her mother had mitral valve replacement surgery on Wednesday and some complications from that afterwards. And Heidi actually left for Ethiopia on Friday for a two-week medical mission tour, and Linda's mother, and Linda's like a sister to Heidi, and Linda's mother is like a mother to Heidi. So both Heidi, from whatever airport she's in on her way to Ethiopia, were requesting prayers for Linda's mother, and Linda's requesting our prayers and feeling our prayers in this time as we pray for her. So Linda's mother. And also, the Jumpo family has requested our prayers for Mercy, their daughter, who is 29 years old and is pregnant. And those of you who know Mercy know that her husband is still in Ghana because he hasn't received a visa to be here. And so she goes back and forth to Ghana to see him. But she's here in the U.S. and he's in Ghana, and she is due to deliver on April 3rd. So Letitia and I were at a shower for her, a baby shower for her last night at the church that Mercy currently attends, and she has a great community of support there. But prayers for Mercy and for the whole Jumpo family as they try to go through this time with that. And Letitia had asked for us to pray this morning on that. Are there other prayers this morning that we know of and would like to lift up? Thank you.
I have two. The first one, my sister-in-law's nephew, after a long battle with a disease since he was born, he's 12, passed away this weekend. And they said it was a peaceful and a blessing. He'd fought a long time and had been through a lot of very tough in and out of hospital his entire life. And secondly, for Heather, my wife, and myself, she starts chemo treatment for breast cancer on Wednesday. So that's something we just learned recently. So just prayers for, especially for her. Thank you.
And the journey.
Prayers for Zach as he travels back to the States. He should be leaving today. I have not heard from him, so I don't know if he left, but just traveling mercies for him.
Okay. Coming back from Liberia, where he's complaining about how hot it is, and to me. So he's leaving today to start back, okay? Others? Okay.
To make the right decision about who to rent my condo to for next year.
Very good. And it's wonderful to have Muriel here and Marcy here this morning. So, and to be in worship together, and as we pray, let us pray. Gracious and wondrous God, in this holy season of Lent, we lift our prayers to you in the circle of this place. We ask your blessing on those who are here and those who are not able to be here this morning in worship for whatever reasons, for strength and wisdom and clarity of mind as we negotiate this weather time that challenges folks. We ask your blessing upon particularly our older members as they are feeling homebound from these times, and for those who would reach out to them in care and concern. We pray for wisdom in these days, O Lord, for decisions that need to be made for folks, for Janine and the renting of her condo as she prepares to travel to California. We pray for your healing hand, O Lord, to be upon those who need it in these days. For Linda's mother in this time. For safe travel for Zach. For Heather as she begins this journey of chemo in this recent diagnosis, and for David as they walk alongside each other in this time. We give thanks for the life that you lived in JP with the Spader family for these years, and we give thanks that his journey to you is now complete, for the witness that he gave of life in the midst of difficulty to all who knew him. We praise you. For you have given us hope, O Lord, and the witnesses of Scripture and the witnesses of your people of faith who gather together in many times and places to walk with you, that you are ever present. That you lead us forth into ways and places that we never knew we could go. That you strengthen us and guide us in your spirit. We pray for Mercy as she continues through this pregnancy, and for Richard in his time apart from her, for the whole of the Jumbo family as they embrace her in love. Lead us, O God, to be your people on that journey as we journey through this time of Lent towards Easter as we experience anew the transformation that is in you, our Lord. We seek your blessing. We seek to keep centered in you, humbly reaching for the promises that you have brought to your people through all times and ages. Guide us, we pray, that we might be ever strengthened by our faith through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Shall we sing another hymn as we go forth from here? Be thou my vision. There is coffee this morning and some refreshments. Let us go forth in faith into this day. Let us be wise as we move forward in God's power. Let us walk and not be weary. Let us run and not faint. Go forth in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and God. The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen. Thank you all for being here this morning.